Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Kicking it off once again, the Yo Gaming Podcast, here with Emilio, Chad,
yo,
and myself.
I feel like Bobby's energy feels like fake energy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, ha, here we go. Yeah, we're going to do it once again. Everybody gather around. It's going to be entertaining.
The rock star hasn't hit him yet.
Yeah, that's right.
Still easing his way in.
One more time.
Needle just fell out of his vein.
What are we kicking this off with?
So, we're doing this again. And,
it's every week. You know, when it happens every week, it's not like a surprise or...
It's a surprise for me every week. I somehow manage to forget we're doing this by Wednesday, and then Thursday comes around, and I'm like, oh, shit, we got to figure out when to do this.
It does come quick.
It goes along with all the other things in your life. Like, you pay some bills once a week, you have sex once a week. You should be used to this.
Yeah. Well.
All right, so we're going to kick it off today with a little game here, something new we've never tried before. We're going to create a game for each other. So each of us have... been paired up with someone, and we're going to create a game specifically for that person. I think this would be interesting if we opened it up to our listeners.
Yeah.
They would probably
that'd be awesome.
They'd be a lot better at this than we are, I think.
I'm fairly certain mine was obvious, so I'm fairly certain anybody else that had Bobby would make the exact same game. I don't think we're going to get many surprises on that front. Yeah.
See, I took some risks on mine. I'll go first. I created a game for Emilio here. And, you know, it's really generic. There's a lot of things in there that I know he likes, like post-apocalyptic, turn-based combat,
so
RPG.
So Wasteland 2 so far.
Yeah, basically. Everything I could think of has already been done before. But here's my twist.
Okay.
Let me know if this hits the mark. Main character is a gorilla.
Okay. Is it like an anamorphic society altogether, or is it just one gorilla?
Just one gorilla. You know, maybe he was like in a test lab or something,
okay,
and he's got super smart, and he's got bionic upgrades. I don't know. But
okay.
I don't feel like there's been a main character that's a gorilla. I mean, we had Donkey Kong, but he's an ape, right?
Okay.
I'm going to review this game 1 to 10 at the end of it, so... And we should all do this.
I think he finished.
Yeah,
that's
my pitch, yes.
Sure.
See, I didn't give you much to work with.
If it was roguelike,
you had to have thrown roguelike.
2 points right there.
I don't know if you can do roguelike, turn-based RPG. I don't know if you can have all that in roguelike.
Sure.
Now you're just throwing in everything.
You throw in a procedurally generated map. You make some roguelike elements. You put it in a wasteland, futuristic, apocalyptic.
Man, you really didn't do your homework on this. Okay. Chad, go ahead.
Okay. So I have Bobby.
You don't even have a title.
I have Bobby. So here it is. It's Jurassic Park. All right.
Okay.
So you got the dinosaurs that you're obviously working with. And it's a similar thing where the park malfunctions or whatever. So it's a horror game set in Jurassic Park era. But the twist is it's in 1984. So you got all the 80s going on. It's at night.
Gotcha.
Third person. You got the cheesy music that comes in. But you got the horror elements. And it's called Jurassic Park 84.
That's pretty much exactly the Far Cry mod, right?
Yeah, kind of. There are dinosaurs in that.
Yeah.
That's not really like a driving force in that game.
But it's straight horror.
Okay.
Straight horror.
Huh.
So the dinosaurs come in. You got to evade them. It's not like you're blowing the dinosaurs up. You're like trying to get away.
So what kind of game is this? It's like a first-person shooter?
Third-person horror, you know, action kind of style game.
All right, yeah, I could get on board with that.
You guys really didn't think this through. Okay.
Okay.
So... First of all, the title of Chad's game is The Sweat Mat. Now, the sweat mat is going to go in the sweat pit. Sweat pit is the corner of the couch that he always lays on and sweats into.
Profusely.
Profusely. Now, it comes with his own peripheral called the sweat mat.
Okay.
And he lays on it, and the inputs are only right and left. He leans right to do that. Where I'm trying to burn as little calories as possible.
Gotcha.
Right?
That makes sense.
Right. So if he just leans a little bit to the right, that's sort of like a right click. a little bit to the left is left click.
Okay.
Meanwhile, on the screen, you have your favorite actresses.
Okay.
Saying ridiculous lines, like very poorly scripted lines about a murder mystery, right?
This has nothing to do with any of the games I play. This is supposed to be based on...
This just sounds like a Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What he loves to do, his favorite... You know, I told Sam the other day, I was like, you know, we're going to have to talk to him about his TV watching. And then he giggles so loud out of here, we heard him laughing. She goes, it's the happiest I ever see him. So I'm trying to make a game around that, right? So he doesn't have to get out of his sweat pit. I made the sweat mat with the peripheral.
This is now, poor so far. I'm not liking this at all.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He watches shows just because he likes a particular actress or actor, which makes him a little gay. So all his favorite actors and actresses doing not even really good acting. And he's doing a murder mystery with true or false, leaning left or right. And it's super easy. You can guess it every single time. So he thinks he's fucking smart every time. Done deal. Best game ever made for Chad.
2 out of 10.
Whoa!
Clearly you had to do an MMO, because like I'm like way into those. Probably more anime style. Not that I watch animes, but it seems like everything I review has like that same art style, which we'll follow up today with another one. But yeah. Alright, cool.
Wow. So I think everybody won that game except Emilio.
Yeah. So Emilio lost.
Everybody's rude.
Before we jump into highlights and lowlights, I got a little thing. I'm going to do a segment on mental health and video games, but that's a little heavy for this week. So I wanted to do something a little lighter. I saw a little article on carpal tunnel and gaming. Mm. Do you guys ever experience carpal tunnel wrist fatigue?
That's so funny that you mentioned that, because I have a really bad case of that only on weekends when I have lots of time to play games, particularly this weekend, because I've been playing so many MOBAs, our Heroes of the Storm, one MOBA, and also Heart of the Swarm, which is an RTS, a lot of moving the mouse, clicking. And I play with my mouse in a very high sensitivity, so my right hand has just been killing me. It feels okay today because I kind of slept on it and took a day off, but yeah, this weekend, I've been having a severe bout of carpal tunnel.
Well, I think what you're talking about is fatigue or extreme fatigue.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you actually have carpal tunnel.
Yeah.
Until it never ceases, I think is the way.
Is that?
Yeah.
Well, the carpal tunnel, I think, is inflammation versus fatigue. Like, carpal tunnel,
it doesn't go away.
Your joints and your ligaments. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I saw this little exercise thing. I wanted to share it with you guys real quick before we get into the games. So here's how it goes. You start off with a fist.
Yeah.
You guys are supposed to do it with me.
Oh, okay.
All right. Start with a fist. Open hand.
Yeah. And then grab your cock.
Grab your cock. So palm. So kind of like all your fingers together. Back to the open hand. The tabletop is you just bend your first set of knuckles.
Okay.
And then the claw, which is you bending just the second set.
Yeah.
And then the half fist, where you bent them both together. And finally the fist. So you do that twice. You got that? So fist, open hand, palm, open hand, tabletop, claw, half fist, fist. So they say do that before and after every match. Get your wrist exercise, and you won't have as much carpal tunnel. So
I can dig it.
That's your video games and health for the week.
I'm going to try that next week, and I'll let you know how it works out.
Next week, check out the
depressing do it. Yeah, if you're going to be playing all the same games. Yeah, why not?
Because it's perfect for MOBAs, too, because you know,
you're waiting. There's
session,
a lot of waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I found that on Imgur, but I was looking up other ones, and there's a bunch of different ones for wrist exercises for video gamers. So if you do experience any of that sort of wrist fatigue or carpal tunnel,
and for step three, ladies, if you don't have a cock, grab your man's cock.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you don't have a man, there's a cock nearby. I guarantee.
I'm sure there's handy ones.
It's not far. In this room, I could throw a rock and it's going to hit a cock.
A multitude of cocks around. So let's go. I think that was our penis quota for the week.
Yeah.
Let's get into the game.
We hit that one early.
Yeah. 10 minutes in, 20 cocks.
I'm sure there was a joke in there somewhere, but I'm not exactly sure how that goes. Let's get into games.
Sure. This week, I played Block and Load. It went free to play this week. This is a really fun game. It
looked garbage, so I didn't download it, even though it was free.
It's a mix between Minecraft and TF2.
Yep.
So it's 5-on-5. You are both a warrior and a builder, although some are more building-centric. There's an engineer.
You have classes also?
Yeah. I don't know what all the classes are. I know there's a ninja. I know there's an engineer. There's a Rambo-type dude and some sort of melee, like heavy dude. But he has, like, metal fists from what I saw.
Maybe a destructor, like he tears stuff down easier, maybe?
I think so, yeah. The engineer, I think, breaks things down the quickest. He has a drill.
Oh. Okay. So the gameplay is like TF2, but is the only thing it gets from Minecraft the visuals, or is there actually like...
No. You build elements. So there's a world, and you have 3 minutes before the game starts, which Chad hates this in TF2, but this is...
True.
You're building the fences. You're building blocks all over the place. Like, there's a lot of work to be done. You're trying to make a base, basically.
Okay.
There's a base exists, but you're trying to make it better. You're trying to reinforce...
Like ramparts and different...
Yeah, whatever you want, okay. Basically.
Yeah.
You're dealing with bricks, and there's traps you can put in,
but
radar.
Not weapons.
Yes, the engineer gets turrets.
Okay.
And somebody else gets caltrops, but I don't know who it is.
Okay.
But it's
probably
really interesting.
Ninja.
Yeah. What's interesting is, like, just like you can break down any wall, you can also break down defenses and add them to your inventory and then redeploy them as your own.
Okay.
Yeah, so
once you're playing the fighting part also, you can still be building stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so the game that I played was two floating platforms with a small bridge in the middle. So we kept fighting and fighting and fighting over this one small bridge, you know, just butting heads, respawning, butting heads. I was like, I'm just going to build a bridge across and flank them. So I made a small bridge, little bridge that nobody could see. I walked all the way across, got behind them, and started doing work from behind because I was the engineer.
Yeah.
I put turrets up, and I was like kind of spawn camping in a way. Then I put up a teleporter. My teammates started teleporting in.
Okay.
And here's my favorite part of the whole thing. They have bricks around the thing that they're protecting is like their base capsule. I don't know what to call it. It's their engine.
Okay.
Their motor. So, it's completely encased in bricks, right? So I break down the bricks, not hard to do. Enough room for me to fit in, get inside and start fucking it up, right?
Okay.
Then I realize I can use their defense to my offense. And I repaved the bricks that I had picked up and enclosed myself in there with the thing and just started fucking it up big time. And then I started seeing the bricks crack where the dude was coming in, switched to my shotgun, fucking killed him, won the game. That was really fun. So I'm going off of one game here, so don't take my word for it, but, you know, obviously I was like the MVP and all that stuff. And this is my first game, so I was like, wow, this is awesome.
Well, you're playing against 6-year-olds, it looks like.
Yeah, there's a lot of... you could tell right away that the people playing this are on the younger side.
Because it's the Minecraft
the stuff they're crowd, saying. Yeah, right? The Minecraft crowd. But, you know, you got your sniper class. I only saw about 5. I think conceptually it's really cool. I think the PvP... it just went free-to-play. I think that's going to bring in a whole bunch of new players. And it might be getting really good right now. My only big problem that I had... Two problems... One was the netcode didn't seem to be perfect, although it might be my hard drive. I'm getting skipping all the time because of my hard drive on just about anything. And then the other thing was, going between build mode and attack mode, I think you're supposed to only push Q and then you could go from gun to build.
Okay.
But the engineer has 3 things. He has this glue gun. I don't even know what it did. And so there's some confusion there. But again, only one game.
That's kind of like Trove too, right? Wasn't there a button that you switch from crafting to fighting?
Mm-hmm. So it's like PvP Trove, kind of.
Okay.
This game looks a lot like a game I played a while ago called Guncraft. Let me pull the Steam page up for that one and show you. And it was kind of the same thing. Like you build stuff and then you fight.
Guncraft looks more serious. It also has shitty reviews.
Yeah, it has mixed reviews.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that great of a game. I played it for a little while.
Yeah, it looks similar, got the though. Point.
But yeah, it looks very similar. So if this is now free to play, what's the name of this game again? Block and Load?
Yeah, Block and Load.
Ha. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Bring mine up again. And so
there's Block and Load right there.
No, the other one.
Oh, The Guncraft?
Yeah.
No, the other page, the other tab.
Okay. So I could just run down the info. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I was wondering if it's now free to play, how are they making their money? Are there classes that are locked that you have to unlock?
It looked cosmetic.
So you can play any class you want as soon as you get into the game.
I think so. I can't guarantee that, but you can play quite a few of them. But it looked like just like, you know, you can turn Rambo into a wizard or whatever.
See, this is a tough sale for me, and not for a good reason. But anytime I see anything just heavily pixelated, blocky, and it seems like Minecraft, I'm immediately turned off by that.
Exactly the same way. And they like, I saw the graphics, yeah. And I said no.
And Telltale's coming out with a Minecraft story.
Already out.
It comes out on the 15th. What is October 15th?
Or maybe they're pre-ordering?
Yeah, the pre-sale's coming up today.
Now, that seems very...
I don't know. I'd give it a shot, but I'm kind of burned out on Telltale. Like, I couldn't even get into Game of Thrones. But just the fact that it looks like that, I'm immediately a little apprehensive to pick it up. And that's not really a good reason. I should give it an honest chance. But I don't know. The visual style is offending to me.
Yeah, but the way I look at it is you're able to do so much more. Again, this development team couldn't conceptually have come up with Counter-Strike graphics.
Well, I don't know if you could do voxels any other way. It would just be too hard to make
something
realistic.
Well, that's what EverQuest Next is supposed to be.
Yeah, well, they've been saying that for how long?
EverQuest Never, more like it.
Yeah. Next year.
I feel like these boxy graphics, I feel like half the time Minecraft was hugely successful. And so people think, oh, people want these boxy graphics. No, like, that's not why Minecraft was successful. Like, I think they're equating these bad graphics to being successful, and that wasn't why Minecraft was successful in the first place. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But
the characters are animated, and they're, you know, the characters aren't boxy. It's just...
Which almost makes it worse, because then you're looking at normal characters on this boxy ground. It looks like unfinished, or it looks like in a dev environment.
I never see this as a problem. But that's me.
Well, you did go for the longest time with a hamster running your graphics card.
Yeah, so that's this is made by Jaeger X. It came out April 30th, 2015, and it's free to play now. So why not?
Yeah.
Free to play, just check it out. I mean, TF2 and Minecraft. I'm definitely going to play it more. That's what I'm thinking about the most right now. Right after that, I got into The Wolf Among Us. I've always wanted to play it off of Bobby's review. I didn't know it was 97% on Steam. That's amazing.
Wow.
It's a Telltale game. Right off the bat, and it came out in 2013. Right off the bat, it's so much better than The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Graphically, and the puzzles in The Walking Dead were just like, oh, obviously... this thing that I can click on and this thing that I can click on means that I can put them together and then do this. It's so trivial. But in this, it's more like catching people in lies by looking around your environment. And obviously the things that you can look at are predetermined and you can see them right away. But the way you react off of those things that you find helps you better catch people in lies as you do this.
You play as Big Bad Wolf, right?
Right.
Yeah. But the human, right? He never turns into wolf.
He does.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. And he's always fighting this because he needs to do that. He's going up against other
fairy tales,
yeah. And they're powerful. So, you know, I only played this first chapter last night. Sam was into it. She was watching it like it was a TV show because it might as well be.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a little bit of Men in Black in there. You know, it's kind of like... there's a secret world, and you're protecting it.
Yeah,
but
you guys,
they don't respect you.
Neither of you guys read the comics.
No. And I hear this is supposed to be a precursor to the comics. This comes before it. I think that's correct.
Those comics are really good. Fable.
Oh, yeah. You read it?
I've read
it. Oh, it's called Fable?
Fable is the comics that's based on.
The reason, the thing besides Bobby's review that made me go into this more than anything else was that I had no idea what the world was and going into it. And I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, it's a little played out at this point, but maybe it was made before. Who cares? I enjoyed it.
I think when he originally reviewed it, I think I brought this up, but they were planning to do a TV adaptation of it.
Oh, yeah.
Which fell through, which I believe led directly to Once Upon a Time, the TV show based on fairy tales that are
I could totally see this working.
Yeah.
You know, the only, this is probably my favorite Telltale game. Well, is my favorite Telltale game in this style. And the only thing I like better than this was the one I'm playing now and almost done with. What was that with the young girl? Chad, you played the first episode.
What was that called?
Life is Strange?
Yeah, Life is Strange.
Yeah, didn't the last episode come out?
It's coming out soon, like within weeks, I think.
Oh, he's rubbing his hands together. He's finally excited about something.
I played episode one. I liked it, but it didn't hook me. I haven't played it since.
I don't know. Something about that.
Should I play those again?
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
Did you buy the whole thing, Chad, or how's...
Well, I have the whole thing on my console.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Cool. But The Wolf Among Us was great, too. It's like a whodunit mystery, and I'm not usually a huge fan of those, but it worked in this environment. And the thing I liked about this game in particular, I think when I talked about it, you know, it says it came out 2013, but really you have like a 6-month, maybe even more lifespan of this game because it's episodic and each episode comes out. But when I played it, I really liked how you got to decide how the main character, Bigby, reacted to certain things. You could choose... like what kind of person he was going to be. And I played him like super aggressive. Any chance I got, I like hit people. Mm. I ripped a dude's arm off. Like nice. I made him as aggressive as possible.
I know the part you're talking about. And you know what's funny is there's a part where the option is glass him. And I thought it meant buy him a drink. that's what my girl thought too. She's like, I thought that meant buy him a drink. I was like, me too. And he gets a glass and just smashes over the dude's head. And I was like, what the fuck?
Because were you not playing it aggressive like that?
I was middle of the ground, maybe. Okay. Yeah,
like, I would probably play the opposite, like the most like.
Well, when I watch, I think a lot of people, when they watch TV or a movie, and, you know, obviously the main character is who you're supposed to relate to, and you always think, well, if that were me in that situation, I would do this, or I would have handled it that way. And that's the benefit of these types of games, is they allow you to actually have some agency and choose how you want the character to act in those situations. So I really like that about it. And for some reason, I didn't feel like I got that from other Telltale games. I don't know why.
What's funny about the approach that you take when you're playing a game is it can bring new life into... So, say you went through the whole game aggressive. If you played it again passively or maybe even submissively, you'd probably see a whole bunch of stuff you wouldn't do, haven't seen the first time. And that's, you know, probably my third or fourth place through Skyrim. I was like, oh, I'm not going to play as myself. I told you guys, this is before even Chad joined the podcast. I was role-playing. I was literally role-playing. I made an orc that made split-second decision, right or wrong, kill everybody that he thinks is wrong. Right or wrong in reality doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Split-second decisions, and then just go off of that. So I ended up beheading a lot of main characters. But we made it fun because, you know, new things came out of it. So
yeah,
that I'd never seen before.
Let me jump in because I didn't add something to the list that I wanted to talk about. Metal Gear Solid 5, I've been continuing to play it. I talked about it last week, but I'm having more and more fun now that I'm starting to get some equipment and getting some levels up and skills up and items up. I'm having more and more fun. And the way I'm playing is I'm being stealthy because the stealthier you are, you can get more stuff. They're called Fulton balloons, I believe they're called.
Yeah.
So if you upgrade those, then you can start picking up
equipment. Yeah, like heavy shit.
Yeah. So if you play it stealthy, you can start picking up equipment and guys and all this stuff. But then when I was first playing, I'd be trying to do stealthy, and then if I got caught, I would restart. And after doing that 6 or 7 times on each mission, you just get like, I just was getting frustrated.
Right.
So I just changed my mindset and said, I'm going to do stealth, but if I get seen, it's not the end of the world. I'm going to shoot a couple guys, run away, let them calm down, play some more.
Do they do the guards come back to the position?
They get off alert, but they know something's up.
Yeah, yeah.
So they tend to be more alert than they were before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having a blast playing this. I'm not playing this full time. I'm just playing this as kind of as my off time, put 30, 40 minutes in there. So I'm having a lot of fun.
Question. So as I was playing, I'm like, why don't I just get the silenced sniper rifle first thing and take out a whole place without anybody knowing and go in and then steal everything. I know you're not going to get crew out of that.
Yeah. But well, basically, later on, you can get basic, you can get like M16 styles that stun.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you can kind of play more run and gun and still be the stealthy guy.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to that level yet, but I've seen people doing it, and it looks like a lot of fun. But basically, you run with a stun, and then I run with a giant sniper. So if I want to take out one or two key people that are in my way, I can do that. Because a lot of times they get alerted, and then you run away, and then they're kind of just looking for you. So it's a good opportunity to just snipe a couple people that need to be sniped.
And why are you building your base? Have we figured this out?
So you can... You have all these platforms that have different roles. So one's the, like...
Production.
Yeah. But you can't make an item until you have production level 10, so to speak. And you can't get production level 10 until you've got a certain...
So you're kind of upgrading yourself through the base?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then you've got a medical bay, or a medical platform, which allows you to heal people up and also unlock the ability to get more and more stuff to heal you when you're out on missions and stuff. So,
Bob, I think you really should play this. Just because...
Oh, yeah, it'll happen.
I have a feeling that you're going to really enjoy it.
And I'm sure I will. Like I said last week, it's a GTA 5 situation. I will play it eventually, and I know it's a good game, but it's just not on the menu right now.
Yeah. It's well worth the... It feels so much like a full AAA title. It's nice to every once in a while go to one of these like high-budget AAA titles that have all the bells
AAA,
and
maybe.
Yeah, have all the bells and whistles, and it's just nice every once in a while because we play so many of these smaller games, indie games.
For sure.
So I'm enjoying it.
So Dungeons & Defenders 2, Chad and I both played it. Chad thought I was all right, I think. I fucking got sucked right in. I played 4 hours straight.
I didn't play Dungeons & Defenders 1. Did you play the original Dungeons & Defenders?
I played
a little bit. Maybe an hour or two.
Okay.
Now, this game, I mean, it says it's $14.99 on Steam, but I've noticed this game is going for less than $1 on G2A.com.
So, yeah, there's something to it. There's a caveat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I was wondering, like, what's the catch?
I think that's the alpha.
Yeah, that's early access.
Okay.
So it's
but Steam is early access, too, right?
It's full release now. That's why it's back in the mix right now. That's why it made news. This is why we're looking at it, I believe. The full release.
I don't think the dollar one, because we and I both bought the dollar... thing. I don't think that's valid to still be playing. I think we would then now have to go.
Are you sure? Because it's early access on Steam still.
Oh, if it's early access still. I can't believe that it's still in alpha. As we're playing off that less than a dollar version, there's a big tag in the middle that says alpha still in the corner. So I don't know. I think the starter pack is $14.99, but can you play this without paying that?
No, I think that $14.99 is the base
entry level. If you're not on GTA,
I think the GTA version is only it's only for early access, and once the game comes out, then we're gonna have to buy it. I think those are keys for. If you want to play it right now, you can go to GTA, spend $1, but I don't know if that will guarantee you can.
I would highly recommend it for. I paid like 87 cents. I would highly recommend it for this. It sucked me in for about 4 hours. I only stopped playing it because I had somewhere to go. This is tower defense, third person shooter, PvE, and you can do a co-op. So you run around, you put your towers where you want. Minions come in. You also use your special ability. It's an ability shooter. You have two or three abilities, including an ultimate.
Yeah. It's almost like Orcs Must Die. I mean, visually, it looks
very
much
different.
Another game that did this too was Sanctum and Sanctum 2, which are both really great games, but that was a first-person shooter combined with the tower defense. But I really like that idea of you build your tower defense, but then you also have a character that you play as, so it mixes genres.
See, I don't like this game because of that, and there's a tower defense game that I have played, which is called Pixel Junk Monsters, and so it's top-down, and it's a tower defense game. And
like
you also have a guy that's running around.
Right.
But that guy doesn't attack. You got to run to a spot to build the tower there. But you got to be building towers while stuff is going on. And I think the idea of... Your towers themselves won't do the whole job, and you have to be there to attack and stuff. I don't know. I'm not digging the concept
You haven't played enough. You played for less than half an hour. I saw it on Steam today.
Well,
when you get to a certain point, not only do you have to be running around repairing your towers, but you can also spec into one or the other. You can, most of the gear either ups your towers or ups you. And you have to start choosing between the two. Okay. Obviously, I went tower based. So I'm running around, I'm throwing my ultimate out, but then I'm going and I'm mostly doing tower maintenance or upkeep. And it's spinning plates. You're spinning a bunch of plates. Gotcha. But it's not like StarCraft where I get overwhelmed for some reason because it's visual and you can see them coming. I really enjoyed this, and I wish I could play with all three of you, or all three of us.
Is it up to two-player co-op?
I think it's up to four. Yeah. I know the first one was.
But it's not local, unfortunately.
Yeah, the problem I had with the first one, I played that a good amount, too, but I felt like it was a little grindy. Like, I had a lot of fun with it, but I felt like it was one of those games that I would have to invest a lot of time and just grind and do repetitive tasks just to get the upgrades that I wanted. I don't know. I haven't touched the second one. For less than a dollar, I'll pick up Dungeon Defenders too, but hopefully it doesn't have that same feel to me.
It like, right when you get in, though, it didn't feel finished to me, so that's right. Why I thought it was still an alpha, because right when you get in, the game just starts.
It just starts.
And yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. But it's supposed to be the tutorial. But I don't think they've finished the tutorial yet.
Right.
So it kind of just threw you in there. And since I didn't play Dungeon Defenders 1, I'm just kind of flailing around trying to figure out what's going on. But after that's done, you go back into the base or whatever. And you can run around and talk to guys and see the campaign map and like do different things. And I thought that was kind of a cool concept where it's almost an MMO where you're building your guy up. And then you're going out and doing a dungeon or whatever, and then you go back into the home base.
And it adds some like Diablo in this because there's like loot pinata going off and you
different rarities of items and stuff like that.
I really like the way that the inventory was handled. You have like pretty much infinite inventory. It was handled very nicely actually because you're picking up so much stuff. Your inventory is in sections, and you could sell entire sections at once. But then when you're comparing loot, it says, you know, obviously you're going to gain this and this and lose that and that. But also it gives you an overall stat.
Like how good the
overall
like
number.
Like an eye level is what.
Yeah, yeah, like an eye level. Obvious. Or you could break it down. So, you know, constantly I was like, well, this adds 20 to my overall character, but it's not going in the stat that I want it to. Do I really want to do this? I thought that was fun. I really enjoyed this game. I'm going to continue to play it. And maybe we could play it all together this week. If I had one thing to say bad, it's glitchy and stuff. But I was playing. I mean, it's stamped on there. Hard, big words. Alpha. So it's hard to say.
Does it ever release date set there, Bobby? On those?
I don't think they did. I'll check again. I was just checking Steam charts. And it looks like the maximum 30... No, current players is at 1,260. That's not too bad. Over 1,000 people playing today. Concurrently.
The big thing I didn't like was you guys started talking and I lost.
Can you randomly queue up with people in this, or do you have to create a match manually for people to join?
I think you can actually, because when you create a thing, I think you can set it whether it's public or private.
I see.
So I think you can basically set it up how you want. Cool. You can get it also has a fine match option, if I remember correctly.
And it is up to four players. It says here, four-player co-op.
So does it have a release date?
I don't think they do.
I was playing solo all the time. I don't know why on these kind of games that I always prefer to play solo. I should be I'm far more social in real life than I am on games, I think.
I think it would make it nice and easy if everybody had a lane and you just had to protect your lane, so to speak.
It'd be too easy, right?
I don't know.
Oh, my biggest problem is it's a little too easy. Like, I never even... My thing, even when I upped the difficulty, my main base, which has a life bar, never even really got touched. So,
well, you're still in the early levels, right?
I was trying to think... No, I played for 4 hours straight. I think... I'm going to pat myself on the back here. It might have something to do with 1,000 hours or about 250 hours of engineer on TF2. Like, I'm really good at placing turrets. Oh, and that's what I really like about this game. You could, a lot of tower defense place has predetermined places where you can put it. This, you could put it, if it fits, you it can sits. Put it. You could put it on top of ridiculous things.
If it fits, it sits.
If it, yeah, exactly. Wow. Did you just make that up for this?
No, it's a meme on on the internet. You don't internet like I do, so you don't know.
If it fits, it sits. Pretty nice.
It's about cats. It fits. It's about cats and boxes. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll sit in
any... Stop talking. You're making it worse.
Okay. What else did we play?
All right. So that was Dungeon Defenders 2.
Bobby, you go, because...
All right. I started playing StarCraft 2, Heart of the Swarm. With Legacy of the Void coming out on November 10th, Blizzard rarely puts their games on sale, but both Wings of Liberty and Heart of the Swarm, the expansion for StarCraft 2, was on sale, $10 each.
Wait.
Wings of Liberty is just original, right?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm a complete StarCraft noob.
Okay.
Wings of Liberty is the base game, right?
Yeah.
And then
Heart of the Swarm. Yeah, it's got a subtitle. I don't know why they gave it a subtitle. It makes it sound like a DLC, but it is StarCraft II, Wings of Liberty is the game. And then Heart of the Swarm was the expansion pack that came out late 2013, but that's been it until recently.
So, is Heart of the Swarm basically just more campaign? Because it doesn't add a new race, right? It's still the same three basic races, right?
Yeah, and it. I haven't played too much of it yet. I haven't played any multiplayer. I think I'm actually going to try the PvP mode. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I get paired up with someone who's as terrible as I am.
Well, they have a whole ranking system, right? You start off as bronze or whatever. It's it's very similar to Heroes of the Storm in that respect.
And it's
right?
a very competitive scene, too. A lot of people play this. And what's interesting about this game compared to Heroes of the Storm or other MOBAs is that it's 1v1. I think you can do like 2v2 matches, which is what I did with Frozen Throne, Warcraft 3. But when you go 1v1 like a lot of people do, you don't have anyone else to blame but yourself. I mean, it's such an odd dynamic. But this one seems to focus on the Zerg, and the next one, Legacy of the Void, is going to focus on the Protoss, and the trailers have looked really good on that one. It doesn't really tell you much about the gameplay, but Blizzard makes like the best trailers.
Well, there's that new there's that 2v2 now that's coming out.
Legacy of the Void is going to have a new co-op mode, which I'm really excited about.
You both control one army.
Yeah.
As opposed to two armies versus two armies.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm wondering, maybe they subtitled the main game because the main game is mostly about the Terran, right?
Yeah, that's how
so it is. Wings of Liberty is Terran, and then Heart of the Swarm is Zerg, and then, what is this, Legacy of the Void?
Yeah, it's going to be about the Protoss.
There's no wondering about it. That's exactly what it is.
Well, you were peeing at the time, but he was wondering why it had a...
See, I figured it was because it was the sequel.
Had a subtitle.
Oh, gotcha.
I figured it was just because of the sequel they gave it the subtitle, but who knows. But it's weird going from this game to Heroes of the Storm. I'm still playing a lot of Heroes, and the controls are very different between an RTS and a MOBA. It takes a little bit of getting used to. Like, I'm so used to tapping spacebar and having that immediately focus on my character. But in StarCraft, hitting spacebar will focus back on your base. And just having to select items, control one to group them up. And
you could change those controls, right?
Yeah, I could, but that's how every RTS is. And it's more effective to use the controls that they've already outlined there. So I just got to learn it.
I'm sorry, I was peeing again. But have you gone PvP yet, or are you thinking about going PvP?
I actually want to play some PvP, but I feel like I don't know the units. I would just be absolutely terrible. So I feel like I got to play a little bit more of this before I start doing that. I don't know if this expansion affects the PvP mode, which is what I'm wondering about. I know, like, with Warcraft 3 and then Frozen Throne coming out, Frozen Throne actually affected the PvP. There were new units, and they did some balancing. This is back before there were patches and before you got games through the internet, so the patches were very rare. You actually had to go and download them and install them, and it was a lengthy process, so there were quite a few less of them.
It could have been on the PC Gamer disc. I remember some patches coming on a disc on PC Gamer.
Oh yeah,
like, and now including the Rad Racer 3.9 patch.
I mean, you don't see that anymore, but I'm sure we've all been there where we've tried to play a game and it says, oh, you don't have the right version.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what server you're playing. And then you have to go download a patch, you know, 1.03b, and then install that, and then you can play.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll let you know how PvP goes next week. And
well, hopefully it's as good as the Counter-Strike matchmaking. I never felt like, well, except for some guys with ops who seem magical, I never felt like I was so far behind that I couldn't start playing this game. Like, I have a rank, and I was put with people of similar rank. Some people had a much higher rank, but and they would usually be on top. But I was never like, I never felt dominated, I guess. I don't know.
Counter-Strike's a very balanced game.
For people that don't know, Emil got into Counter-Strike last week. So if you didn't check our podcast out last week, he's trying out CSGO, which is why he's bringing up Counter-Strike.
Yeah, I've been streaming it a lot of the time. Although I ended up streaming Binding of Isaac, and I can't wait till Afterbirth comes out. It comes out on the 30th on Halloween. So I'm really looking forward to that because I am done with the... I'm just getting, you know, it's getting a little old, a little repetitive at this point.
After 300 hours,
about 300
plus,
hours, you know, it starts to
get a little stale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Chad, what's Aura Kingdom?
Okay, so free to play.
MMO.
MMO.
81%.
Japanese. I guess it would be a Japanese MMO. But unlike Metal Reaper Online,
yeah,
I didn't have any issues with translations. Everything sounded like somebody from America was talking. So very cutesy graphics, very much like what would the graphics? It's anime style.
I want to throw up a rainbow. I'm looking at this.
And yeah, I had fun. I went back and played it some more. I put in 5 or 6 hours on it, having a blast. It's kind of got a weird thing where you've got your quests that pop up on the right, you know, when you accept them, then they come up on the feed on the right. If you click on them, your guy just starts trucking to wherever that thing is. Mm. So you almost don't have to play the game. You gotta just click on the guy to get the quest, click on the quest to run to the quest, click on the guys to kill the things you need to kill or pick up or whatever, then it says that your quest changes to go return to whoever. So you click on that again. It runs up to, automatically clicks on it.
So you can go take a pee.
You have to do some clicks, but it's really like...
It seems like a cell phone game.
Yeah, it's dumbed down in the fact that... But you can run around and do it, and I was doing some of that. It's kind of got an interesting mechanic where there's guys with little orange talking icons above their head. And if you just walk up to them, you can listen into their conversation. You can eavesdrop. And then every time you finish one of those, it kind of gives you like a bing, you got more points of whatever.
Yeah.
It's free to play. It doesn't really push you to buy anything, except there was one side quest that to be able to complete the side quest, you had to purchase something on their store.
That was right up front. They show you like, in order to...
Yeah.
You didn't get halfway through it. And then
no, they say, oh, you can purchase stuff. Click on this thing and click this and buy it, and you can complete the quest. Mm. And I just dropped the side quest and just kept moving along. The first day I played this, I was getting a lot of server latency. I think they have some thing going on where every action you do has got to bounce off the server. So I'm like trying to open up one of the guys to get a quest, and I'm getting server not responding errors. Mm. And so I was getting a lot of that. The second day I played it, I wasn't getting it so much. So I don't know if I was just hitting it at a peak.
Well, did you play it the first day it was on Steam, maybe?
No.
Yeah.
I played it exactly the same both times.
This game was released in July of 2014, so it's been out over a year.
Yeah. So I think it recently went free to play, or it recently came to Steam. But I had fun. There was no cost, you know, so I was just playing. And the main reason I got into this is that I pre-ordered Guild Wars 2's expansion.
Yeah.
Which I was like, man, I really want to play an MMO. But I was having some difficulties getting the Guild Wars 2 thing connected and all, so I just started playing this one.
Well, you know what else went free-to-play recently was WildStar. And I heard they were having some issues, like the servers just got way too overloaded because everyone jumped on that game.
So the game that I'm talking about is Aura Kingdom. It's on Steam, free-to-play. The reviews give it a very positive. The other thing, so I'm playing... what is it called? An engineer? But he's not a cannoneer or something like that.
Sure.
I haven't taken more than 6 hits. Because my number one attack stuns them for 2 seconds. And it basically has a 2-second cooldown. So unless I'm fighting like bosses,
yeah, or which you can't stun.
Yeah, I'm just it. There's absolutely no danger.
Yeah, which you love. And back to the sweat pit. You can't lose.
I find it odd that who designed a game that where the first attack, the most basic attack you get, stuns a guy for as long as the cooldown lasts.
And does damage?
And does, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm just, it's like I push 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, dead.
Yeah.
Sounds like the easiest game ever.
Yeah.
You just click on the quest, and go to them.
I'm level 20. I think it's out of 50 levels. I'm level 20, so I'm leveling up really quickly.
Sounds like a macro could play this game for you.
Maybe. Yeah. But none of the enemies are aggressive, so you're just wandering through.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And none of them are chained together. They're not clan-oriented at all. So you shoot one, and the other two are...
Communal or
no? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, friend. Oh, shit.
Yeah, EverQuest had that
stat
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
God damn it. So you're just like picking off guys. Oh, I need six of this guy. Okay, I'll just kill six of this guy, and then I'll go. But maybe I just happen to pick the juice class.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. It sounds a little too easy. This sounds like something that would be like one of those companion app games, you know, like for Assassin's Creed when you send your boat on a mission or something with your cell phone.
It kind of feels like it was designed for like 8-year-olds. Like everything's cutesy.
But you like it.
Well, because I'm kind of an 8-year-old when it comes to gaming. And, like, everything's super easy to kill, and you just have to click on the quest to go right to it. Like, there's no, like, challenge anywhere in the game so
far. I've given up on MMOs. Someone was telling me about WildStar this weekend, and I was just like, I am not interested, dude. Like, that ship has sailed. I've come to terms with the fact that I'll never play another MMO again.
Guild Wars 2, the
expansion. I'm there as well. I'm with you Bobby. No interest? Until EverQuest next.
You mean EverQuest never?
Yeah.
Don't hold your breath. You know, Guild Wars 2, I really do like, and I like the angle that they take with that game. They say it's not about the end game, it's about just the game. Like, the game is playing through all that stuff, but I don't know, somehow that doesn't register with me. I'm always the person that wants to get to that last level and then have all this cool stuff to do then. I don't know. EverQuest 2 is cool. Or not EverQuest 2, but Guild Wars 2 was a good MMO.
We still all agree that Guild Wars 2 is the best MMO on the market right now, right?
I'd say World of Warcraft.
Yeah, World of Warcraft.
Guild Wars 2, I'll give it to you for doing something
Guild
completely
Wars,
different.
Yeah, Guild Wars 2 is the best non-subscription MMO absolutely. Ever.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
for sure.
Okay, well, let's give it an overall. So, is World of Warcraft $14.99 a month better than Guild Wars 2? I say no.
Do you still have to buy the base game for Guild Wars 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's free now.
Oh, that's right. They changed it to free.
Well, then, fuck.
Yeah.
It's the best MMO out there if you don't play an MMO.
I don't know. I don't like to bring price into this because...
You have to, though. I know it's relative. I know price is relative.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's...
But most people...
The amount of content in WoW is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Right.
I still say World of Warcraft is a better game.
But hold on. World of Warcraft, if somebody that's never played it before and wants to step in and... get everything ready to go. How much are they spending? How much is the base game plus how many 4 expansions now?
See, I don't know because I'm updated or I have up to, I don't think I got Mists of Pandaria. Whatever the one was before that. So I'd have to get Mists and then I'd have to get...
Wrath of the Lich King was before that.
Are you sure?
Cataclysm. There was one in between.
Oh,
yeah.
Cataclysm.
Cataclysm was the last one I played.
So wait.
So I'm behind two updates.
Burning Crusade, Wrath of the Lich King, Cataclysm, Mists of Pandaria, and then the new one, Burning...
And there's no bundle pack?
Burning
Legion? No, there's got to be... I don't think you have to buy each one. I think you just have to... If you have it, you have to upgrade to something, and if you don't have it, then you just have to buy the newest one. And the price probably varies for each situation.
But as a new player, you could be fine with just Warcraft at first to see if you like an MMO.
They give you 10 days for free.
That's the thing. Just jump into fucking Guild Wars for free, see if you like an MMO... it's all relative, and it's all, you know, we're just saying opinions here, but for me, I would say Guild Wars is a more, maybe not polished, but it's definitely prettier, and, you know, it's free. It's free, and they don't ask you for money. Like, wow!
Yeah.
They believe in their product so much that you're going to buy the second half of it. It's not even a half, it's probably a quarter. There's a quarter now for sale. They believe in the product so much... that they'll give you their whole first game hoping that you'll buy the other game for, I don't know, $30 or so.
I think I pre-ordered it for $40.
$40?
Yeah. I think.
So here's, I'm kind of digging it. I'm thinking about jumping into it, too.
Here's the deal, though. The moment-to-moment, I have more fun playing WoW. I like the combat better. You know, they have this whole thing with pet that I like collecting. It doesn't matter what kind of play style you are. WoW's got something for you. If you're a big PvPer, they've got all sorts of different arenas and maps and world PvP if you want to do that. If you're a straight PvEer, you can just play the game. You don't ever need to get somebody else to play with you. You can play as if it was a single-player game. Then it's got, you know, like the base building they put in Burning Legion or whatever the most recent expansion
was. The biggest problem with Guild Wars, I think, is that it feels like a single-player game. It focuses more on, like, your story, and you don't really got to play with other people.
True, but
they keep the combat fresh with whatever weapon you pick up is a new set of abilities.
True.
And you have to play your character different.
But
forget about that.
I'm just saying that I think the actual gameplay is more fun for me playing WoW, which is why I stopped playing Guild Wars, is because the combat got stale for me, and I never
get even that with this mix-up.
Yeah, and I never got that with... Well, of course I get that because I leveled up 8 characters to max level in WoW, but anyways.
MMOs.
Yeah.
All right.
What's this last one? Cyberpunk?
Speedball? Oh, yeah, yeah. These are these, you know, 5 or 10 games for 99 cents or whatever on G2A.
Okay.
These are a couple of the ones I unlocked. Cyberpunk 3766. Was a, what do you call them? The golf games? Where you,
shmup?
Shmup, yeah. Shmup game? I don't know how
is
he got that
top
from that,
down?
But it's perfect.
Is it top down?
It's side scroller.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a shmup game.
shmup. SH. Shmup.
Yeah. I played much better shmup games than this. Shmuck is what I'm going to start calling it. I played much better ones, but the production value on this were.
Speedball one. Google Speedball.
Speedball?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if this is the game that I'm thinking about.
But the, it's, you know, it's one of these, you know, you're flying sideways, very basic fucking game. But the production value was pretty high. I mean, the music was okay, and there was, like, a story, there was a narrator. All of that kind of brought up the value up. It's all still poop, but it was polished poop. So, I'm not recommending it, but it's not the worst game I've ever played in my life, but I did not play it more than 10 minutes. The other game that I played was Speedball 2 HD, which is some kind of like death football game, maybe. This one, it was hand-drawn art, which was nice, and then it kind of ends there. It's more like the football that's not football that everybody else plays, except for America?
Rugby,
yes. It's very rugby-esque. Hand-drawn rugby, but mechanics, everything, it just falls. I can't recommend either one of them, but they both have their nice points. I like the hand drawn on Speedball 2, and I like the production value on Cyberfuck 2047.
So Speedball 2 looks like it was a remastered version of an older Nintendo game or something.
Maybe. I'm trying to think because there was a game that I played way back in the like Nintendo days. And I'm trying to remember if it was Speedball, but it was like a kind of a futuristic sporting game.
Are you talking about Base Wars?
I'm not sure.
Because that was a baseball game for the Nintendo, but you were robots and you could give them upgrades. And if you threw out...
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, if you threw out like a runner or struck him out, then you'd have like a fight.
Oh, I didn't see that. It was more football style, but it was the same thing with robots.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm...
No, if it's football style, because this Base Wars was a straight up baseball game.
It does look familiar, but I think there was a football version of it that I played.
Yeah, who knows? This was on the Nintendo.
Football Wars, maybe?
Football.
I don't know.
Nintendo
anyways,
game. Anyway, who knows?
Those were fun, though. Where, like, you could, like, your robots would get destroyed and you can upgrade your robots and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Is that what?
Yeah,
that's
how Base Wars was. Yeah, and you could put like cannons on their arms or give them like giant fists to punch each other. There are many different ways you could.
Maybe that's a game I am thinking of.
Yeah, classic Nintendo games, but We don't have any listener questions this week, but I did have, I was talking to one of our listeners, Krad Notorp, always mess that up. He recently switched from, he made the change from Apple to Android, and we were talking about apps and stuff, and he told me about this new podcast app. It's not new, but it's new to me. It's called Pocket Cast. So I checked it out and started using it. Now, Chad, what do you, you have an Android phone.
I do.
What do you use for podcasts?
I actually don't use anything for podcasts, unfortunately. I mean,
you're killing me.
Guys, when I ride in, I'm not kidding. I've rode in his car. His radio is playing AM new, like sports news.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the blah, blah, blah. And what about those Penguins? It's so, I can't believe this is what he listens to for over an hour a day. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but you guys aren't sports fans. Like, you don't understand that.
Okay.
That's pretty much what they sound like.
You're mocking me. It's like a video gamer is mocking somebody for liking sports. This is like...
Now, everybody has their thing.
This is like the nerds...
No.
This is the nerds beating up the jocks in...
Oh, sports is so dumb.
You love MMA.
You admire sweaty men running around.
No, I admire fucking... high-level athletes doing high-level athletic stuff.
Okay.
Just like all you right. Watch Twitch streams.
Wow.
And
look at the muscle on that guy. Look at his gluteus.
We got a little off
gluteus launch him through his...
Okay.
Here.
It's like watching, like, things that you... Like, it's like watching Twitch streamers, like the professionals. Like, maybe you can play CSGO, but you'll never play it like that dude plays it. And that's okay. Why you're watching it. It's the
sure,
same thing.
Sure, man.
Okay.
Whatever you guys say.
Okay. So, Emilio, you listen to podcasts, right?
I do. Yeah.
Do you use iTunes? Because you have an iPhone, right?
Yeah, I use an iPhone.
Okay.
So they have their own app that you have to. And it's one of those apps that you have to use it.
But here's the thing that I'm wondering. I haven't had an iPhone in several years, probably about 3 years now. Do they have widgets on iPhones? Mm-hmm. Widgets are like, you see how I have my phone here, and I have things where that I can directly access.
I don't think there's my
calendar. I just swipe over here. There's the weather.
Okay. No, there's an app for that, though.
All right.
Whatever.
This is the one thing that I couldn't live without on an Android phone is widgets. And so I'm checking out this new app, Pocket Cast. I really do like it because it's got some features that Podcast Addict, my last app, did not have. It's got the variable replay speed, which the other one did have, so I can play podcasts at a faster rate. And I listen to it a lot quicker than if I were just to normally listen to it. But it's also got this thing where it removes... pauses. Anytime there's silence, it just skips through it.
So, interesting.
Yeah, it's really nice.
What's it called again?
It's called Pocket Cast. Here's the funny thing about this. This is the first or the only and the first time I've ever bought an app for a phone.
Wow.
Like ever.
It's $3.99.
Yeah, $3.99. But the other cool thing about this is they have a web player. So if I'm at home, I can just go to the website and I can pick up the podcast wherever I left off on my phone. So I really like that for going from my car to
home.
Yeah. Oh, I listen to it on my computer at home or anywhere where there's a web browser. So that feature kind of stood out to me, and I was like, all right, I got to check this out. I guess I'll drop the money on it and see what's up.
And you don't regret it.
No, I like it. There are a few things that I like better about Podcast Addict, but overall, it is a much cleaner interface. The one thing that I don't like or that I like better about Podcast Addict was the widget. You could put a widget on your screen and it would show you where you were at in the episode, like how many minutes you had already listened to. It would show you the title of it. And the widget for Pocket Cast only shows you the thumbnail, a play pause button and a rewind and fast forward button. And I mean, that's good enough. That'll work. But the Podcast Addict widget, like you could customize that to show whatever you want. It was great.
So widgets are basically modifying the operating system.
No.
They're like live tiles on a window phone.
Yeah.
It's like your app is open on your screen without actually having to open the app. So like there's my calendar. I swipe over. There's the weather. There's the podcast. I just hit play. I rewind 10, 20 seconds. I don't have to actually open up an app to get into it.
Now, the important question is, can they get DL Gaming podcast on?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, we're on there. Although, if you search PC gaming, we do not show up very high on their search engine. They use a different one from iTunes. And that's another minor caveat to this. Podcast Addict, they had a little box you just checked that says use iTunes search engine, which I don't know. iTunes kind of has a shitty search engine, but for some reason, it's the one that I'm used to using.
Anytime a new listener communicates with me, regardless of what the interaction is, whether I'm giving them a free game because they won or they want blowies or whatever, I ask them how they heard about us, and it's almost always it came up on their podcast app, regardless of what it is, whether it be Addict or whatever the other ones are. But yeah, somehow we're popping up on that. I assume it has something to do with iTunes.
I know Stitcher has like their own whole searching service or something like that, and their own review system as well. They're trying to be like iTunes, I assume. But yeah. So yeah, Pocket Cast is the name of that app.
But it's expensive. $4 for an app?
$4 is a little pricey. And the web player is $9 on top of that. I thought spending the $9 would give me the app as well, but it apparently does not. It's
$13 total.
Yeah. So wow. I was already $9 in, so I was like, all right, now I got to spend the $4.
Are you sore?
That's a lot of... Yeah, $13. I'll recover, dude.
Yeah, but think what you could buy with $13 on Steam.
I could buy... What could I get for $13
Pretty much buy Steam for $13.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could pay a month of World of Warcraft with that.
Almost. Almost. One more dollar. Yeah. All right, let's go down.
The news.
Into the news.
All
right. We're not doing the news, though, right? This is just straight up news.
This is my favorite... fucking title for a news bit ever. Bobby's wet dream leaked.
Okay.
Yeah. So
his mom's in there.
So one of his
I'm interested to hear what you think my wet dream is.
But one of Bobby's favorite franchises is Far Cry. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I like Far Cry.
That means he loves it.
Yeah, oh, he loves it so much.
Yeah,
and
I like it.
Guess what? They're making a primal version. So. Dinosaurs. Far Cry, dinosaurs, Bobby's head explode, cue.
But modern times, not Blood Dragon.
No. Like fucking cavemen. Cavemen. From what... So one picture... This is how... It was leaked accidentally by IGN Ukraine, right? Those
leakers.
I know. They put something up on Twitter. It said, first shot of Far Cry Primal. And it looked like cavemen beating each other up. Hmm. So
that would make a good game because Far Cry games are always, they're quality games. They aren't
for sure. Yeah.
I mean, they may have a few bugs here and there, but yeah, for the most part, I mean, Far Cry 4 was great. Far Cry 3 was great. I didn't play 2, but 1 was great. Blood Dragon was great. Like, these are great games.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And I feel like a lot of games out there with dinosaurs are just like early access, kind of half done games.
Like the Stomping Land, which
whatever happened to that one.
And the other thing I can dig is maybe they can get away from this whole spotting out the camp, invading the camp. Yes, you could do it however you want, but if it's just hunting dinosaurs, there would be maybe it's just spotting the Triceratops and. Seeing its habitat.
They should just call it Turok 3 or something.
I just don't know how you can diversify. I feel like from the caveman genre with dinosaurs, I feel like all of these early access ones have already done everything that... Like, where are you improving on what we've already gotten from Stomping Land?
You're talking AAA now, right? So that's one thing. So a lot of money.
Far Cry 3 and 4 really had a lot of animals in it.
I know, but you also had high-tech guns and all the things, repelling and all these things that you were doing that you can't do with cavemen with rudimentary...
Spears, maybe it's more arrows. With less, you know? You were never scared in Far Cry games. Maybe you're going to be scared now.
And are they going to incorporate crafting like most of them do?
Yeah. Well, you know what probably. Also made
that
would
probably be a strong point.
The last two Far Cry games, what also made those really great was the villain as well. You know, they had a really strong... character for an antagonist, and I don't know how exactly they do that in this, but I don't know. I like because
they
pitch.
Got a guy with big brain and little arms.
Oh, they've already
T-Rex. Anybody?
Oh,
no. Is that a shitty
crickets?
Crickets
on that one.
Maybe they've got the super smart raptors like they have in Jurassic Park or Jurassic World or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right. Well, I'm excited to hear more details on this one.
Yeah, oh, he's excited. There's a smile going on. Yeah, I broke.
Hype train.
I broke the stone face guy.
He's smiling.
So what do you guys think about the Bowl monthly. Anybody know?
Tell me about
$12.99 seems like a lot. I saw this. I got an email about it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a good idea. But $12.99, what kind of games are they giving
you?
But
you
for
own
that?
The games, too. It's not like Gamefly where you rent
yeah,
the games.
Yeah.
This is like, here's the games that we're going to give you $12.99 a month.
Humble Bundle does have the best bundle when it comes to actual
yes.
quality. They do have the better games. But the reason I would not do this is because I already have a lot of games, and it would be really...
Well, for giveaways, I thought it was going to
yeah,
be really
giveaways
good if we all
great.
Do it.
But $12.99, I mean, that's a good amount of money. I mean, I could buy Pocket Casts with that.
Yeah.
That's Pocket Casts yeah. money right there.
almost WoW money.
Yeah, a month, too. So it's like, yeah. what games are you getting with this? That,
yeah.
That's what I want to know.
I know, and this is just an initial offering, but... Upon signing up, you get Legend of Grimrock 2 just for
yeah.
signing up.
And
that's not even the first bundles.
Yeah, but that's a great deal.
But they're
in
a good company.
Itself.
So I kind of yeah. trust them, but at the same time, $13 a month, you're
yeah.
talking like
yeah.
but here's
1/17th of cable.
And I'm glad you mentioned that about Legend of Grimrock. I forgot about that. You're basically buying Legend of Grimrock 2 for $13, which is a great deal. And then you see what the bundle is you get the first month. If you don't like it or you don't think it's worth it, just cancel it. So, I mean, it's a safe investment at first.
For sure.
Hmm.
Did you ever get around to playing that game, Bob? Did we talk about it?
I played like 20 minutes of that game, and then I never got back to it. That was last summer. I have no idea why.
Is it unfair to say that you don't like it as much as the first one?
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I think it was just, I liked the first
Heroes
one.
Heroes of the Storm was a big problem with that
Oh,
game.
Yeah. That actually,
yeah.
that happened at the same time.
Yeah,
so that's
yeah.
the reason.
That's tough.
The glaring problem with Legend of Grimrock is Heroes of the Storm. I mean, it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. If you could take the Heroes of the Storm out of Legend of
yeah,
Grimrock
yeah.
2, then it would have been a good game. It would have been a really good game. Bobby
yeah.
would have loved it.
Yeah.
What else we got on news?
The Beginner's Guide. I don't know what that is. Someone explain.
Really interesting. Chad saw the preview with me.
It's not a trailer.
Yeah, right. Well, no, it was a trailer. That was a trailer.
Is it a trailer? Because it was an actual gameplay that we just saw.
So it's really highly reviewed on Steam. Critics are going apeshit for this. Anytime there's anything new, critics go apeshit. Much like Her Story or something like that. So this is by the guy who did Stanley Parable. And it is a really interesting take on a game, I guess, if it's a game. I didn't really understand it until I saw a Let's Play, and I'm probably going to be buying the game off of the Let's Play. So the guy who made the Stanley Parable is the narrator of this game, and he's talking to you very frankly about what you're about to experience. What he's saying, basically, is he had a friend that used to make a lot of games, a ton of games. None of them were really ever released, and...
It's more like game concepts, right? They're not fully fleshed out.
They're not
games.
Fully fleshed
they're like
out games.
Vignettes, almost.
But I kind of feel that he kind of maybe touched them up a little bit so that they're at least playable.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. That's just a theory. But he was also saying what, like, as he was playing through these games that his friend made, he was also thinking about what that guy was thinking at the time, what he's going through in his life, and, you know, what would make him make this choice in this game. So, as you play through the sequence, chronologically, of the games that this guy made, you're also trying to, I don't know, trying to be more sympathetic to what maybe a developer might be going through during that point of his life. And
Is this game out now?
It's out now, yeah.
Why are we not just playing it and reviewing it? Why are we talking about this in the news?
Because I looked it up 20 seconds before we went live.
Is it on Steam?
Yeah, I'm going to play this game next
okay.
week for sure.
I think the fact that it's from the guy who made Stanley Parable alone will sell this game. I mean, that Stanley Parable game was awesome.
Wow, the reviews on this game are really high as well.
I did not like Stanley Parable, so I probably will not like this game.
I haven't played Stanley Parable because it looks really creepy to me.
It's got some creep factor to it.
So, The Beginner's Guide, $7.99. Yeah, it came out October 1st, just recently.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so you're kind of playing through somebody else's computer?
You're trying to discover them through their art, so to speak.
It seems like it, yeah.
Because you're playing their games that they've created. But I don't know, is there a game there? Do you have to, like...
Well, you're playing every game, right?
No, but I mean, like, is your opinion of what this person is, does that make, is there any game elements
input,
there?
Input,
it's kind of like her story. Like, is there any game there? Or are you just watching stuff, playing little snippets? I don't know.
I don't know.
Play this week and tell me what you think next.
Yeah, I'm going to play it. I'm highly intrigued here.
Okay.
Maybe I should play the Stanley Parable first.
It's on
well,
my...
the Stanley Parable is not a game you need to spend a whole lot of time with to really get to know. So even if you just...
You can beat it in 10 minutes, or you can spend 3 hours on it.
Yeah.
Well...
Right? Is that true?
A beating of it could be like you go to some place and,
it's
and
not
die
really,
or whatever. And that could be
it. Yeah, it's not a conventional game. It's not like a point A to point B, you've completed the game kind of game. Mm. Yeah, it's... It's a little more complicated than that. But yeah, check out the Stanley Parable and you'll figure it out right away that what kind of game that is.
So, 1,000 people were playing Dark Souls 2 and they beat the last boss somehow. I don't understand any of this.
Okay, so my understanding, and I don't know about the Dark Souls 2 thing, but Twitch did a thing a couple years ago where they played Twitch plays Pokemon. And basically somebody set up a computer that would read the chat on a Twitch channel.
Yeah.
And the game would do inputs based on what people were putting in chat. So there would just be 100 people putting stuff in chat, and whenever it needed an input, it would just pull from chat, and that would
whatever's up at that time.
So, yeah, exactly. So that it was a huge deal on Twitch back then. And eventually they got through the game, but it took forever because you're talking about Pokemon games, and there's you know, trolls in there trying to do purposeful things, like...
the wrong thing.
Exactly. So, for example, they released one of these essential Pokemon that they needed to beat. Somebody was just trolling them, and they managed to get the button input to say, release this one, are you sure, yes.
What's release mean? Like, give it away?
Yeah, set it free.
Wow.
So, they did Pokemon, and I think there's a channel that just kind of does these, like, Twitch plays, whatever.
This was at TwitchCon.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe it was just the people at TwitchCon that were playing it?
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine Dark Souls 2 being beaten by almost random button presses.
Right.
But
maybe the latency was because it was local, maybe. Who knows? I don't know how they did this, but it's really interesting.
There's an interesting story in there somewhere.
Yeah, but crazy that a group of people could play one game.
It's kind of an interesting concept.
It's like a crowdsourced game.
It's crowdsourced play.
Input. Yeah.
I wonder
if maybe
it's
we'll see more of this.
Like all that random gibberish that people type in chat is being interpreted as games. And it's just like kind of one of those 1,000 monkeys will write Shakespeare eventually kind of deals where it's just the odds.
It's infinite monkeys with infinite typewriters will eventually write the rights.
The works of Shakespeare, It was one of those.
1,000 monkeys would just shit on their typewriters, Bob.
It's one of those things like if you're like in the internet culture, it kind of hit like a viral point, and then it kind of blew up, and then people were making memes about it and different things. So it kind of hit this kind of point where it kind of exploded.
Hmm.
But I didn't hear about this Dark Souls 2, but it's interesting.
Wow.
So and wrapping it up.
Yep.
Anybody got anything else? All right. So can you scroll down? I keep forgetting the name of this game.
Pulsar.
Pulsar Lost Colony is getting extremely good reviews. It's early access. It seems like
it
is.
And we got copies.
And we have 3 copies we're going to play amongst ourselves. It seems like Artemis, if Artemis had graphics at all, and that you could, more like Star Trek, you could go on away missions and do things together. I mean, this is perfect for the 3 of us. If we need 2 more people, I think a full crew is 5. We're going to do this week somehow. We're going to set away some time and hopefully play some Dungeon Defenders as well. So that's what I'll be doing. I don't know what I'm going to be streaming. Let me know. Tweet me or whatever you want.
Tell people when you stream.
10 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Pacific,
Tuesday through Saturday. So
yeah.
DL Gaming, DOT Net.
Yep. And you can find all our links at dlgaming.net. That website has links to our Twitter account, our Steam group, YouTube channel, all that stuff.
Not our email, which is emilio@dlgaming.net.
Oh, yeah. Email. Who uses email anymore?
Yeah, seriously.
Though? I get a lot of emails.
Shit is out.
I just...
things about big pills.
Tweet people. My dick pics.
Nigerian princes.
Yeah.
Our email is free from the capital. Just like Korean spam, dude. It's just like all this fucking
badly worded attempts at you clicking on stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, I got that too. That was Metal Reaper Online. Check that out. Free to play. Are we done?
Yep.
I think we're done.
All right. Give us some titties.
I wish I could, Chad. Speaking for Chad, speaking for Bobby, and wrapping this bitch up, titties.